Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Food for the Journey. And as I say so often, I pray for you that it may be real food. God's Word is living. You know that. God's Word is living. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It has the power to just hit the bottom of us and speak to us. God's Word has power. This is not like any word you pick up. That's why we reverence the Bible the way we do, because it is God's Word. So let's take a look for this Monday of the first week in Ordinary Time. You know, sometimes I wonder, what is Ordinary Time? It always seems to be so full. But this is after the Christmas season. And the first reading is from the first book of Samuel. Chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, Elkanah by name, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim. I know these are words we're not used to using, but he's trying to identify them. He was the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephronite. He had two wives, one named Hannah, the other Paniah. Paniah had children, but Hannah was childless. This man regularly went on pilgrimage from his city to worship the Lord of hosts and to sacrifice to him at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were ministering as priests of the Lord. When the day came for Elkanah to offer sacrifice, he used to give a portion each to his wife Paniah and to all her sons and daughters, but a double portion to Hannah, because he loved her, though the Lord had made her barren. Her rival, to upset her, turned it into a constant reproach to her that the Lord had left her barren. This went on year after year. Each time they made their pilgrimage to the sanctuary of the Lord, Paniah would approach her, and Hannah would weep and refuse to eat. Her husband, Elkanah, used to say to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you refuse to eat? Why do you grieve? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?" It's a real call to us to accept what God has given us or not given us, because we're called to love those that are with us more and more deeply. That's what God wants of us. And we read from Psalm 116, "To you, Lord, I will offer a sacrifice of praise." Even during the hard times, brothers and sisters, if you can, offer him a sacrifice of praise, because he knows what he's about, what he allows and what he doesn't. Just keep praying. "How shall I make a return to the Lord for all the good he has done for me? The cup of salvation I will take up. I will call upon the name of the Lord. My vows to the Lord I will pay in the presence of all his people. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. My vows to the Lord I will pay in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem." Do we offer a sacrifice of praise? Do we stop in the church if we go by it? Do we stop even for a minute or two to thank him? How do we treat our Lord? Or do we just pay attention on Sundays? Now, sometimes the only time you can get to a church is on Sunday. But please, brothers and sisters, whenever you're, even when you're alone or when you're driving somewhere, just speak to the Lord and tell him, "Lord, I love you today." Now, don't wait for bells and whistles. It doesn't work that way. God isn't going to immediately respond to you, I don't think. If you do, let me know. But God hears every word you pray. And you are offering a sacrifice of praise to him when you call upon him for help or to thank him. Remember, it's not just for help. Thank him when he does something for you that's very good. Remember that. And then the gospel today is the gospel of Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, right there, that's a call to each of us right now. That's not just telling us a story about the past. This is for now that God asks us. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent wherever you need to repent. Please do it, because we know not the day nor the hour. And believe in the gospel, for the gospel, brothers and sisters, is true. It is God's word to us. Please, please, look at the word of God with honor. Read it carefully every day, even if you can only read two sentences, but read it every day. I know I've said this to you before, but I want to encourage you to begin a new practice. Just ask the Lord, help me. Help me to live for you. And now we continue in the Gospel of Mark. That was chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Catching fish was necessary for them, but I will make you fishers of men. Do you speak of the gospel to others? Do you read something in the Bible that interests you, or something you don't understand? Ask your parish priest. Ask someone who knows. Don't be proud. None of us knows as much as we could know from God's word. It's alive, and that word is here for us. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they left their nets and followed him. Right then, they left their nets, the source of their livelihood. They dropped it, got up, and followed him. As he passed by the sea, he walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They, too, were in a boat mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat, along with the hired men, and followed him. God is first, you know, before anything else. Will you follow him? Bring as many as those you know and love to him. That's our call as Christians. It's our call to bring people to Christ, to speak the word of truth to them. People have come to me and said, "I never understood that. I don't know what that means." And I just want to say to you, I'll try to do what I can in this program, but I really want you to just simply, quietly, if you can, daily, just read his word. It will change your life. It certainly changed mine, as I've told you, because the word of God is living. The word of God has such power, overwhelming power, to bring us safely home to him. Sometimes in our pride, we pay no attention to him. We're just caught up so much in worldly things that we don't see what lies ahead. God's word will lead us in the right direction. And I looked at a short article from Sister Ruth Burroughs. She said, "Glory to God in the highest and peace to men. Here is perfect fulfillment, because God is our friend, our Father. He bestows sonship on us, begets us in Jesus. Do we live out the sonship or the daughterhood thus bestowed? The tidings of immense joy are for you, for me, for each one without exception. Each of us may say, "You are my Father." If we would be truly human, if we would give glory to God, our lives must say it, that we live in a way, brothers and sisters, that says we love God, that we're sons and daughters of God. It's easy to make general statements. Our living of sonship, our affirmation of God's fatherhood, is a moment-by-moment business. Fatherhood means nothing unless it is exercised at every moment of our lives, and we must recognize it and respond. We need enlightened eyes of the heart to pierce the disguises, to say, "Yes, you are my Father," in the now. There is only one point, so to speak, where God is for us, and that is now. Brothers and sisters, I know I've told you before that I had a wonderful father. I had a very good mother, too, but I was always struck by my father. He would always teach me from what was right and what was wrong. He stayed with me. He was running up on the porch from his gas station the moment I brought my report card home. And I was very embarrassed because I didn't do good one term. And he just took the report card, he opened it, he folded it, he put it back in my hand and went back. He didn't talk to me. And I remember just sitting there. My mother said, "You need to go and talk to your dad." And I said, "I know, but I don't want to." And she said, "Go talk to your dad." So I did. I went over to the gas station, and I waited till he finished with a customer. And then I said, "Dad, I'm so sorry. I'll make it better the next time." And I did. I got all A's the next marking period, believe it or not, because I loved my father so much. And if I love my father this much, how much more? Infinitely more do we love our Father who is in heaven, our Father who is waiting for us. He is the Father of fathers. He's the Father of mothers. He's the Father of children. He's the Father of all of us. But he knows each one of us by name, and he knows what our needs are. Follow him. Follow him. Ask him, "Lord, help me right now. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do in this situation or that situation." Just ask him, "Help me. Help me, Lord. Lead me safely home to you." That's what God wants to hear. And if he does, and you are faithful by giving him time every day to listen and read the scriptures, and if you do, God will walk alongside you and lead you. He'll walk alongside people who are away from him, very far away from him. He'll turn to them too, but they've got a long road back. If you're listening to this program, turn to the Lord now and ask him for now what you need. Because it doesn't mean you're going to have a miracle in front of you. Some things didn't get answered. I found out later they weren't the best things for me. But he does hear you, and he does love you. And he does want you to follow him more and more closely. May we see him in heaven together. Amen. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.